thing I remember knowing was a lonesome whistle blowing and a youngin's dream of growing up to ride on a freight train.
Welcome back to the Jeff Porter Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Tuesday. Still to come on the program from the Media Research Center, Brian Bradley. That's in about 30 minutes. The mayor of Orange Beach, Tony Kinnon, looking forward to that discussion at the bottom of the 10 o'clock hour. And then, as we do every Tuesday, we'll hear from 1819 News editor Ray Mellick. So that's coming up. And we'll get to more of your text. Still got a ton to get to here. 251-343-0106. Where can I get a breakfast taco? Not necessarily something that I have a lot of experience with. So I'm asking, crowdsourcing, if you will, the breakfast taco experience for coastal Alabama. Let me know, and maybe if you feel so inclined, let me know what you eat in your breakfast taco. Is there a regional preference here? Anyway, enough of that. Joining us on the line from the Alabama Policy Institute, he's got a piece out headlined, "In the Aftermath of Roe, Alabama Should Not Rush to Expand Medicaid." The Senior Director of Fiscal Policy at the at API, Justin Bogey, joins us. Justin, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Jeff. Doing well. Good to be with you.
Hey, thanks for making time. We always appreciate getting you on. And, Justin, I mean, I just kind of sitting here watching the way things are going. And, even without the Dobbs decision, it just looks like, to me, the Ivy administration is maybe I'm suspicious of them a little too much, but they look poised to expand Medicaid. It's something she has denied wanting to do in the past. But I think you're onto something here. I think this expansion of this Dobbs decision overturning Roe might give them an opening to do so.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. And this is something, you know, that's been going on for a decade now, really, since the passage of Obamacare. There's been this push to expand Medicaid, and Alabama thus far has kind of thwarted those efforts and resisted the urge. But, you know, I think some people are going to use this decision to overturn Roe versus Wade as an impetus to bring those discussions back and really put more pressure on to fully expand Medicaid. And, you know, from a certain extent, I get that, because you're, you know, in theory, we're going to have more babies being born in the state. There's going to be low-income people who really struggle with the cost of having a baby. You know, you and I are both relatively new fathers. Having a pregnancy and that first year of childcare, it's expensive, and care for the mother. So I get that. But the reason I'm saying there shouldn't be a rush to expand Medicaid is because the state has already done that, actually, for new mothers. And that's something I think a lot of people don't realize. So traditionally, mothers only got about 6 weeks of coverage under Medicaid, postpartum care for them and their child. The state already has taken steps to, at least for the next year, expand that to 12 months. And, you know, my guess would be that if that goes well and a lot of people utilize that service and there's really a need for it, then that program will, in all likelihood, continue. A lot of other states are taking similar steps, Texas, Florida, for example. So, you know, I would say we're already taking steps to take care of potentially new mothers who, you know, wouldn't have otherwise had a child pre this decision. And so there shouldn't be any rush to fully expand Medicaid, but we're already addressing that need.
There shouldn't be, but that's not to say that it's just looking for an opening, it seems like, right? That it is entirely, this is something sort of the business community wants. They see the Medicaid dollars, the hospital association in particular, see the dollars coming in, and that's good for their bottom line, I think.
Yeah, I mean, there's if you believe all of the numbers that are thrown out there, then it looks like something that would be profitable for the state, so to speak, but there's really more to it than that. So, you know, the estimated cost of the state expanding Medicaid, it starts at about $225 million a year. It increases to almost $250 million a year in the next 5 years. The thought is, by putting that money up for Medicaid expansion, we'll get more money back from the federal government in return. And, you know, somebody estimated, Parca here in Birmingham estimated that the state will come out about $1 billion ahead over 7 years. But the thing I think people don't realize is, you know, almost all of that money will go back into the Medicaid program. We'll have to take $225, $250 million a year out of the state general fund budget and put that much money more into the Medicaid program in order to draw down those dollars. So while, yes, on paper, we're getting more money back from the federal government, all that money is being dedicated to Medicaid. So, you know, assuming we have a recession here in the next year or whenever that may happen, you know, I think it's looking likely that that will happen. Resources are going to be more pinched than ever. And so you're taking $225 to $250 million away from other agencies. And, you know, the state's either going to have to cut spending somewhere or they're going to have to make up that difference. And, you know, usually that ends up coming back on taxpayers. So, you know, while it sounds like we're getting this for free and we're going to end up making more money in the long run, that's really not the case. And it could end up being tax increases for the rest of us to pay for that.
Well, that's just the thing, though, the legislature really pushes back hard whenever you bring this discussion up. They don't want their hands tied. They don't want their hands tied telling them what they have to do with the money that they have been entrusted with. You know, we have all the goodness of the legislature of rural broadband or whatever. I don't know, but they're really reluctant to embrace this idea. But I think the executive branch, they wouldn't mind it. But I think there's a handful of members that wouldn't mind it either, tying down that money to Medicaid expansion. It's just the problem here to me, Justin, and I know you're a policy guy, but it's the politics. Ivy won with a big margin in May, and there's not really any reason other than, it, you know, thinking she's going to do whatever the conservative thing is, but there's no reason for us to think she's not going to expand the Medicaid rolls in this state.
Yeah, well, you know, I think you're right. I think we're seeing some cracks in this facade that she's built up for years about not wanting to expand Medicaid. But, you know, again, I think the easiest thing to do politically and without rocking the boat is, you know, just kind of let the status quo go on. You've already put this budget in place that's going to provide extended coverage for new mothers and their children. So it seems to me it's politically more risky to go on with full-fledged expansion because, you know, a lot of people in the state have said they're not in favor of that. But, you know, ultimately you're right. She has a mandate. She's going to be here theoretically for another 4 years unchecked. So she certainly, if she wants to make that a priority, you know, she may be able to get some people online with her to do that.
And I think the public is really kind of, they're not being really straightforward with the public on this one, man. They are, it is like you say, they're trying to make it seem like it's something for free and that, you know, we're getting something from the federal government. Why aren't we doing this? But they're not. They're not telling you the obligation. Once you go down this path, this is the obligation. This is what you have to account for, and then what that would mean. So, like, if I'm one of these legislators that doesn't want the governor to do this, or however they go about it, they got to start making more of a compelling case to say, well, do you like progress we're making here and here and here, or would you rather go in this direction?
Yeah, and you know, something to remember, this isn't a temporary thing. We're not going to fully expand Medicaid and stop in 5 years or 7 years or whatever. This would go on and on forever, and theoretically it's going to get more and more expensive over time. You know, we're already seeing a $25 million increase in the projected cost just over 5 years. You know, what's it going to cost us 30 years from now or something like that? And again, it takes more and more money out of the control of the legislature. They have to fund this if they want to get the federal dollars. And on more of a bigger picture level, it's just the continued expansion of the federal government into state matters. You know, every dollar you get from the federal government has strings attached to it. They tell you what you have to do with it, the conditions to spend it, the types of policies that you have to follow to have access to that money. So again, it's not as simple as just expanding Medicaid and we'll draw down lots of federal dollars. You know, there's lots of strings attached with that. And again, it's really usurping some of the legislature's power over the purse, which is, you know, one of their few fundamental duties that they're supposed to perform every year.
Well, you know, guys, y'all remember the whole vaccine mandate and how Biden was going about that with threatening federal money. I mean, when you introduce more federal money or offer more federal money and put it more on the line there, They like to threaten legislators, especially with everything going on with school lunch is another great example when we did the bathroom bill, right? And mm-hmm. telling the state or at least hey you don't want to do that because we could pull some of your that money coming from you. The USDA is sending you for the school lunch program, so there is a. The potential there, at least, that there is some kind of expectation that we adapt whatever woke lefty policy, perhaps the Biden administration or any future administration may want us to adopt because of taking or expanding Medicaid. But anyway, I think we just lost Justin there. See if we can get him back. I'm going to say to him, though, something else that has happened recently when it comes to the when it comes to Medicaid expansion that we've seen is this, that the you see a lot of these politicians. Remember Governor Bentley? Governor Bentley he's found religion now in expanding Medicaid. I wonder what's going on there. See if we got Justin back. Justin, you there? Let's see. Now, do we have Justin? Are you there?
Yeah, I can hear you. Yep.
All right. Yeah, I don't know what happened there. Do you find it peculiar now that this whole Medicaid expansion movement, Governor Bentley, who apparently had opposed it, is now in favor of it. You see a lot more of these Republicans coming out in favor of it that are kind of stepped away. And they'll tell you this, whenever you bring it up, they tell me this, at least, that this is going to save the rural hospitals in this state or the rural health care in this state.
Yeah, I mean, we're hearing that argument a lot. And, you know, my argument back at that would be if these hospitals are really in need, you know, the state had a $1.5 billion surplus last year. They're on track to have a much bigger surplus than that for 2022. You know, take some of that money that we've already got on hand, that surplus funding, and you could put that towards it instead of committing to this program that's going to go on and on, you know, basically until the end of time, and really have greater costs. You know, so I'm not sure what's going on with former Governor Bentley. He was certainly against it back, you know, when he was governor, but he's changed his thing. You know, maybe part of that is he's a retired doctor and he's getting pressure from some of his colleagues. You know, I can't speak to his motivation, but yeah, I think it's interesting. But if there's a need in those communities for the hospitals to improve hospitals, to, you know, help them financially, then the state has money to do that already without expanding Medicaid.
Well, that's what they do. These guys that are pushing Medicaid expansion, going back to Doug Jones and the Democrats in the legislature, they talk about these rural hospitals. Because Terry Sewell's another one. And they talk about these rural hospital closings, and if we just expanded Medicaid, then people would go to suddenly start using those hospitals because they'd have insurance, which is not the case at all. I mean, there's no reason to think that, and trying to like justify it that way. I mean, there's other things that the state needs to be doing, I suppose, to improve rural health care. But the idea that we expand Medicaid and we save these hospitals in like Georgiana or wherever, that's totally false, right?
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. You know, if I'm sick and I have the option between, you know, a rural hospital or a hospital in Birmingham or Mobile or wherever that's, you know, more highly regarded, where I'm going to get better care, then that's where I'm going to go. It really, you know, it doesn't matter if somebody else is paying for it or not. I'm going to go where I can get the best care, I think.
Right. But if we're going to try to tackle rural health care in Alabama, stop calling hospitals health care. I mean, maybe they're a component of it, but that's not really – there's got to be other – other things you could do. And I don't know what the answer is, but the use of Medicaid expansion as the fix there, maybe I don't see it, but I guess you would have a Medicaid insurance and you could go to the doctor and a doctor would decide, well, you know, I wasn't going to stay here in Perry Right. County or Choctaw County, but now that there are customers out here with Medicaid, I'm keeping my roots here. I mean, that seems a little far-fetched to me.
Yeah, I think you're right. And generally, your reimbursement rates and all that are going to be less than if you were in a bigger city and taking private insurance and those kind of things. So you know, I think you're absolutely right. That's not going to fix the problem overnight. Maybe it helps some of these problems in a small way, but, you know, just because we expand Medicaid doesn't mean that all of the dollars are going to go to these rural communities and it's going to, you know, fix every problem right away. You know, there's much more to it than that. I think it's a more complicated problem than just throwing more money at it or having a more reliable customer base, however you want to look at it. I don't think it's that simple.
I said I'm not convinced the customer base is any more reliable if you expand Medicaid or not. But anyway, enough of that. Hey, Justin, we got to get to a break here before we let you go. Folks want to check out the Alabama Policy Institute and your fantastic op-ed. Tell them where they can look.
I think go to alabamapolicy.org or 1819news.com, and you know, that's where we're posting all of our updates and new materials. That's a great place to check out.
Y'all check it out. Justin, we appreciate it. We'll talk again soon.
All right, thanks very much. Bye.
All right, guys, we got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5.
The drum, they stepped so high and they made the bugles ring. We stood beside our cotton bales and didn't say a thing. We fired our guns and a British...